Live from Liverpool, we don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
And we are back. This is indeed Friday, and it is the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts podcast. Hooray!
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. A little bit of brevity in these times. We don't mention the C word, and that's why you listen. But we also don't have enough content to just talk about ghosts every day of the week. We probably do, but...
I would have no patience for
it. You'd have no patience for it at all. So, you will recall if you listened to yesterday's episode, and apologies for yesterday's episode because we certainly got deep. We had a couple of days off and I was both... Well, we were both tired, I think, so then we started to get a little bit esoterical, shall we say. But this is going to be much more brevitous, if that's a word. Is that a word? Do you want to...
Let's go with fun.
Let's go with fun. No, brevitous it is. You will recall that in yesterday's episode, we left it on the cliffhanger. Could I find evidence that there's no laws in physics that a window can unshatter? And I'm going from Quora here,
right,
which is an answers website, to be fair.
Okay. But not the most scientific.
But here we go. Someone's asked the question, how can a glass putting itself back together be just as plausible according to the laws of physics as a glass breaking? How could the pieces glue themselves back together be physically possible? And the answer to this. Your question is posed in the perfectly reasonable pretext of your experience, but there are, in my mind, two parts to thinking about this. One, the chemical properties of the substance at the molecular level that allow materials to both break apart and to bind. And two, the statistical nature of entropy and how this affects the distribution of ways that events can happen and the division of possibilities in the system. Which obviously is, God, that's a long answer. I'm not reading all that out. It says the plausibility you mentioned is sort of equal in any experimental outcomes. If you're meaning it in the sense of how believable each would be entirely believable because each really can physically happen. And each is equally well described by our physical theories, but that does not mean the glass breaking happens with equal probability. There are many, many ways it can break and result in the same macroscopic outcome, but a vanishingly small number of ways it could reform starting from shattered pieces. I appreciate this is much harder for us to appreciate. We are creatures of experience at the end of the day. Humans have evolved to intelligently understand the world around us, which largely becomes being able to learn and then preempt expected behaviour. And that is from a scientist.
A scientist?
A scientist.
Okay, so I feel like it can be fixed. Like, if a glass is smashed, it can be fixed using just those pieces, right? I wouldn't argue with that. But what you were saying yesterday is that it can just go back together, like, without an outside influence, and that doesn't go against any...
No, not without an outside influence. Like, let's say, what I mean...
So someone would have to do it.
No, what I mean, by chance. So for argument's sake...
No, not by chance. Right, in that case, we do disagree. It cannot, by chance, go back. Because you said no laws of physics... the laws of physics don't argue that, and it does. Like, the law of motion argues that for a start.
No, let's say, for example, you've got a glass pane on the floor, right? I could shatter that with a brick. Now, all those shattered pieces, it's saying that I could hit the brick at those shattered pieces, and that could reform the glass. There's no law that says that can't happen.
Okay, but again, so there has to be an outside influence.
Yes, but that doesn't mean someone sat there with glue. We said this would be full of brevity.
I know, but if you've got those shattered pieces on the floor, you're not going to, like, go away and then come back an hour later, and without any outside influence, it's put back together. There would have to be something that does it, a force that does it. And you said yesterday that the laws of physics don't rule that out, it just miraculously going back together. And I'm saying it does for a start, the law of motion does.
I think, what they're actually saying is, you know, like, for example, let's say if you broke a glass in two, right? Which, you know, like, where you'll get a chunk of a glass fall off a drinking glass, for example.
Yeah.
What it's saying is, there's nowhere in the laws of physics that state that if you were to place that glass back in its hole,
yeah,
there's no reason why that can't just become fully whole again. Because the bonds would still apply and all this other things would still apply. And there's no law of physics that state that that can't happen.
Okay, that's slightly different to what you said yesterday, and also I'm fairly sure that's not true. That's a different question, but that's also not true.
Well, who am I to argue with the internet?
Because you're saying a shattered glass won't just go back together. You're saying, ah, no, the physics says it won't just fix itself. Yes, there are, is my point. Yes, there are.
Okay. Well...
So to read this out, like, exactly, an object will not change its motion unless a force acts on it. So if they're all stationary, all these pieces, they will not pick up and go back together unless there is a force on that, acting on it, to get them up and in together.
And if anyone's wondering when the brevity is going to come into this...
Should we say now?
We'll say now. But what I thought we'd talk about in this main episode, this mm-hmm. main episode of us not talking about ghosts,
yeah.
we'll still keep it slightly within
eggs?
The...
Let's talk about eggs.
Why?
Easter eggs.
Oh, actually, yeah. No, in fact, you know what? This is a very good point. This is what I did want to say. Because we're on Good Friday today, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm going to read out a tweet to you and we're going to discuss it.
Right, okay.
This tweet came in today from Richard the Question Man.
When you say came in today, came into you today? Has someone tweeted you or is this a random tweet?
No, they tweeted the show.
Okay.
And what I mean by Richard the Question Man is, of course, Richard Inquirez Enrique, really. But I call him Inquirez.
Is that... Slightly
it possibly
racist.
Is. Actually, no, it's not racist, but he did say that his dad got a lot of stick for the same thing. So I do apologise, actually.
So should we maybe not mock fans?
It's not a
surnames?
Mock. It's not a mock at all. It's an but this is it's kind of a question that he's posed. So I said the question.
Okay.
But now you made me feel
I mean,
bad.
If he asks loads of questions, then I think you can call him the question man. But I think just one.
No,
probably,
I know.
Probably a
I
bit
know.
Too soon, really.
Yeah, fair enough. Right. So Richard says, he's tweeted today. Morning, Kev. Morning, Richard. Say morning.
He didn't say good morning to me.
You ignorant son of a...
What, he didn't say good morning to me? I was going to geg in on your good mornings.
Okay, fair enough. Morning, Kev. Hi, Richard. Just Kev here. Becca's just gegging in. don't know if it's a Spanish Catholic thing, but will you be giving up meat today for fish? Will you ask Becca to do the same? Question mark. I haven't been to church for years now, yet come Good Friday, I still won't eat meat. And I did reply to that. And what I said too is very true. You might not know this or remember this because there's obviously a 10 years age difference between us both. Because Kev's a creepy old man, and Becca's a supple young thing.
Two creepier saying couple.
Creepiest singing it. I'm 40. She's 30. It's not like you know. And we met 8 years ago, so it's not like I literally.
I was in my early 20s. Fresh out of
And I was in my early 30s. And. What's your point?
Nothing.
Lovely.
I was 22, that's all. You did all right.
Yeah, but it only gets funny when we say things. I'll say things like, oh, you know what? Man, what was it the other day when we were laughing? Oh, it was something like The Only Way Is Up. You know, The Only Way Is Up, baby, came on. And I went, oh, I used to have this on an album. And Becca was like, I wasn't born.
Yeah. And like, that you can't go on, like, I could still go on an 18 to 35 holiday for a good few years yet, and you wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. I mean, I would, because I look, I could pass for 35. Is it 18 to
35? Yeah, usually.
I could get away with 35, if I shaved all the grey hair off.
Or is it 18 to 30? Either way,
30.
I could go and you still couldn't go.
Yeah, well. Anyway, so I replied to Richard and said, yeah, I remember this as a kid, is that obviously I'm Catholic.
Oh, by the way, Richard, it's not just a Spanish thing. It's
Catholic, oh, yeah, that's what upset him. Yeah, it's, like, you know what, Liverpool's Catholicism is largely Irish Catholic. Which is just general Catholic, I imagine Roman Catholic. But in as a kid, the chippies, the fish and chip shops, would literally have queues round the block on Good Friday. Or we even call it Fish Friday. That's like how ingrained it is. And it was always the case of, if somebody like ate meat,
yeah.
like everyone would be like, you're going to hell. Like you've done it.
Yeah, but you've grown out of that.
It's not that I've grown out of it. As I said to Richard in the reply, I'm lapsed. And I actually said to him, hi mate, good shout. No, it's also an Irish Catholic thing as well. I remember as a kid, queues stretching right round the fish and chip shop every Good Friday in Liverpool. And then I said, I'll ask Becca on today's show if she'd consider not eating meat today.
Why would I not eat meat when you eat meat today?
Well, this is where I've just went on to say, but although Becca wouldn't tolerate Jesus telling her what to eat.
Well, she certainly wouldn't when... You eat meat, like you're the one who's supposed to be religious between the two of us. Why on earth would I not eat meat when you do?
Well, I am lapsed.
You definitely had a bagel
respect.
Last year, without doubt.
Yeah, I've had bacon this morning, just realised. We had an omelette.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm pretty sure like every year you've eaten meat.
Yeah, I mean, not intentionally. You know, I don't do it as like some sort of heretical thing. But I must admit, I don't, ever since the age of probably about 25, I haven't really made sure that I eat fish. And that's probably indicative of my entire Catholicism now, is that...
non-existent.
Yeah. Well, not non-existent, it just doesn't apply as much as it did, I don't feel. But, yeah, but back in the day, and I'm wondering now, like, if it's the same tonight, if there's still... I know Catholicism, not, you know, people attending church seems to have dropped off massively, unfortunately. But I do. I wonder if you went around Chippies tonight, if there'd be massive queues again.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure that the Chippies will still be a lot busier, because a lot of people will do it, like, in the same way that even though people aren't religious, they'll have pancakes on Pancake Tuesday. Not that the pancakes themselves were a particularly religious thing, but, you know, yeah. Like, a lot of people, like, just do it. Like, I know in my dad's, they'll always have fish.
Oh, will they?
Like, yeah.
Like, but your dad's not religious at all. Paula well, is, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah, my stepmother is. But it's not... I don't, it's almost, like, more tradition than religious, I think. You know what I mean? Like, they just, like, they'll just have fish. It's just what they'll do, in the same way that, I don't know, people have hot cross buns around Easter, you know. I don't know.
In fact, whilst we're on this, I'm going to text my sister, who's a year younger than me, and I'm going to say, are you having fish tonight? And let's just see what she comes back with, because I'll be interested.
Okay. While she's replying, so to answer Rich's question regarding whether I would, well, for a start, considering Kev doesn't give up meat, there's obviously absolutely no reason why I wouldn't. I don't know, it's an interesting one, because I feel like you shouldn't impose your views on other people, but at the same time, I wouldn't be deliberately problematic if it was important to him. So... yeah. If he was like, oh no, like, I'm definitely not going to eat meat today, but, like, let's have chippy tonight, is that alright? Then I'd happily have fish and chips, because, you know, I'm quite fine with fish and chips.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So if it was, like, really important to you that we just did, and, you know, it's kind of no skin off my nose kind of thing, then, yeah, I would. Whereas, you know, but I wouldn't have you, like, dictating to me. Like, if we went out to a restaurant saying I wanted to order something, like, I wanted to order meat, and you were like, no, you have to have fish, then I would have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, though, you know, in the last 12 months, I've felt myself getting a bit more religious. I don't know why. Don't know why. But in other news, another exciting news, my sister has read this message and is currently replying.
Typing. Is that what you can see?
Three dots. Are incoming.
Tense. It's better be good, this. She's got no idea.
Now, full disclosure, my sister was not as much of a Catholic as me, although she was raised Catholic, but she's brought her children up Catholic and make sure they go to MASH.
MASH,
which is, it's like
they
mass.
Do the MASH.
It's like MASH, but it's potato-based.
They do the Christian
and
MASH.
And her reply is... well, I'm having quiche and salad and think Mick and my dad are having chicken stir fry, ! Although I did give them the choice, !
What, the choice of quiche or...
as in, like, of being...
the choice of quiche or chicken.
Of being a proper Catholic or not.
Well, yeah. Either way, no one's having fish.
Well, Mick's not Catholic anyway.
So no one's having fish?
No one's having fish. No, that's not the thing. Fish is seen as the optimum thing. It's not just a case of... you must eat fish.
It is, because it's the fish, the sign of the fish is like for Christianity.
But I think it's
it?
More important Jesus that it's not eating meat.
I think it's the fish. That's why people have got those fish on the cards.
That would mean that you could eat other meats as well. You could eat burgers as long as you have fish at some point in the day.
No, it's not eating meat, but it's eating fish instead of meat, isn't it?
I'm just going to very quickly reply to my sister to say, you're the good Catholic. And
so your dad's obviously not interested either.
No. And my dad kind of, for personal reasons, went off religion. Mainly. But he's still like part... I was going to say he's still quite high up in the church. He's not.
He has no role in the church whatsoever.
No, but he's a governor on a Catholic school.
He's still quite high up in the church. He's a bishop, yeah. He has gone off religion a bit and he's having chicken later.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Quite high up in the church.
Good. Just one sec. I'll stop this while I reply to this text, because it's going to be dead air otherwise. So, back in a sec. Sorry, guys. Text has been replied to. So, there you go.
Yes. So, what would you have for dinner tonight?
Takeaway. I think we've agreed we're going to have takeaway, haven't we?
Friday. Well, either takeaway or a nice dinner with wine.
Yeah, but I was thinking of breaking that up.
Because I'm trying to...
otherwise, it's that nice dinner tonight and then three takeaways.
Two takeaways?
Three. Bank holiday Monday.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. We'll see. I have to say it.
Okay. What were you going to say then?
Well, I was just saying, well, obviously, with us not going out now, I'm trying to replicate a restaurant kind of once a week. So I go out, get a nice thing, like nice starters, nice mains, light candles, have some wine.
So go on, everyone wants to know this, no doubt. What are we having for starter?
Garlic and lemon prawns.
Garlic and lemon prawns.
King prawns.
King prawns, well. Tiger yeah. King prawns.
Yes,
What are we having for main?
We're having duck leg with hoisin glaze and daffy noir potatoes.
Ooh, hark at you.
Some greens and either parsnips or parsnip crisps.
Mmm, sounds delightful. And what about pud? What about the all-important pud?
Chocolate cheesecake.
Mmm, yummy. Well, that does sound exciting, but I think I'd sooner that on a Saturday night. But, you know, we'll eat it when you tell me to eat, because I'm like your cat. I eat what I'm given. So, anyway, in the spooky stuff, I thought we'd talk about something that you may have heard mentioned in the quiz.
Are you done with Easter now, yeah?
We're done with Easter, apart from saying, Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Well, I'll be saying that tomorrow as well, won't I? Today's a good Friday. It should be goodness. Goodness everywhere. Goodness gracious me. I'm making it good by talking to you.
You're so lucky, lucky, lucky.
I mean you. Not the guys. Like, they're going to have a great one anyway.
I know, that's what I mean. As if I should be so lucky that you're talking
to me. Oh, yeah, you are.
You're going to have a nice one because today I talk to you.
I need to get you some water, don't I? I just noticed you light on water.
Yes, please.
Okay. Do you want to do that now?
In a minute.
Okay. So we're going to... You may have heard a question. I think it was given by the real-life ghost story guys, Emma and Dan.
Right.
Where the... Dan, God bless his soul, struggled with the Dyatlov. Saying Dyatlov or Dyatlov?
Yeah.
Dyatlov, I think it is. Pass, as many people do who try to pronounce it. So we're going to discuss the Dyatlov Pass incident. Okay. Do you know where it is?
No, I do not.
Good. This makes for good listening then, I think. So I'm taking this from Wikipedia. So you can get an understanding of it. I'll tell you my brief thing of it, right?
Okay. Is it not better to tell me the facts of the case before
this
your opinion?
This is factual.
It doesn't sound factual.
Right.
I mean, guys, there is a reason that I asked for a distinction between facts and Kev's opinion, because he has been known to proffer his opinion, even at times when you wouldn't think an opinion would be relevant and there should only be facts. Like, for example, I've said to him, what time is it? And he's gone, about 2:45. And it turns out he's just... guess, like, complete shot. I had no idea. And I was like, why didn't you just look at your phone? He's like it, you may as well just say, well, do you want the actual time or my best guess? Like, no, I don't want your best guess.
Best guess was within a half hour correctness, though.
If I ask what time it is, because I want the actual time, not you just probably this. So when you're saying, yeah, this is fact, I'm thinking, is it? Why don't you give me the actual facts of the case first and then your opinion?
Well, no, here's my brief synopsis.
Your opinion.
Okay. My brief synopsis for you.
Right, okay.
Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot. We're in the pub.
Yeah.
See, no, joke. Basically, some
lucky
students...
Them, eh?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Some students in Russia decided to go off camping, right?
In Russia?
In Russia.
Surely not in winter.
Why not in winter?
Russia in winter.
Yeah. Well,
friends don't let friends camp in Russia in winter.
Well, it was February, actually. He says, glancing at Wikipedia. And they were getting along fine, all lovely stuff, do-do-do-do-do. Then they went missing. So then they called in a search party. And when they called in a search party, they found, like, the tent had been ripped from the inside out, like somebody had tore it to get out.
Right.
People have found naked up trees and all this carrying.
Do you mean people?
Like the campers, like randoms.
How big was the group of campers?
Well, I'll need facts for that. Six. Let's say six.
No, let's not say six. Just have a quick look and tell me how many actual. Because when you said they found people up trees, like did they find all of the people up trees? Was there just a few of them? Was there just one of them?
Well,
this is why I said let's do the facts first and then your opinion.
I know, but you know what? I don't know how allowed you are to use somebody else, a bit from somebody else's podcast in your podcast. I don't know whether it's a dumb thing, but...
Well, is it... I mean, if it's just telling the same story, you're allowed to tell the same story and put your own slant on it. I think you probably couldn't repeat their opinions.
And I want to play part of their podcast on this.
Ooh. Oh, I'm not sure about that.
But it's amazing.
I don't know.
No, it's dead funny. It's dead funny the way it's said. Because the...
Well, you're friends with them. You should have just asked, really, before you started this, shouldn't you?
No, it's not from Emma and Dan's.
Oh, who's?
It's from another show that I listen to. The Supernatural, it's called. But basically, why it's funny is... And it's unintentionally funny. Is because she doesn't really... grammatise... The irony of using the word grammatise. But she doesn't grammatically correctly speak...
Bloody hell.
The irony of that.
But does not she know?
Does not she proper speak? No. As in, like, she doesn't use pauses and commas in the right place, and she says a sentence which just absolutely made me howl, but it's not meant to be funny. And then that's why I can't really do it justice without playing it.
Okay, and listen, you're the podcast guy. I don't know the legality.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll say what it is she's saying and how she's saying it.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so let me pause it and I'll come back in so that I can find it.
I found that a bit anticlimactic.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Becca just listened to the thing that I think's dead funny. But I'm going to say it as she's saying it, right? The point that I found dead funny is there's a mountain, O'Taunton Mountain, which is part of the Dyletov Pass, or Dyatlov Pass. And she gives what it translates to in the local language. But because she doesn't, it's the way she says it that makes it sound like she's trying to imply it translates as this whole sentence. So I'm going to listen to it in my right ear, and I'm going to verbatim say...
You have to do the pauses right, though, because I think you're going to minimise those pauses. I think there was a bit of a pause.
I'm not.
You have to do it exact.
I'll do it exact, but this is why I found it funny. So this is what she allegedly thinks it translates as, or what it sounds like she's saying. Right, hold on. In the language of the native Nandi people, O'Taunton reportedly means, don't go there. It's dangerous, especially in the dead of winter when the average temperature hovers around 3 degrees Fahrenheit. And then she says...
I just don't see why...
I think it's funny.
I don't think that's as funny as you think.
It is funny because she's not... Because of the lack, she doesn't say... It translates as, don't go there. Pause.
Yeah, I get... She goes,
it stands for, don't go there, especially in February... When the temperature averages around...
There was a slight pause. I mean, I get your point, and you are right on your point, but I don't think it's as funny as you think it is.
It's hysterical.
I don't think it was worth this.
Anyone who thinks otherwise can see me later. See me, I would write in red pen on your school report with a big cross. Anyway.
Yes, you would, because I was about 8 when you were 18.
See me later. Anyway, Dyatlov Pass. Show back up. 9 Russian hikers died, right? They went up to the Ural Mountains. They're all from a local university, and they go up there, right?
Right.
Search and discovery, we'll jump to that. So before leaving, Dyatlov had agreed he would send a telegram to their sports club.
So it used Dyatlov?
Yeah, I don't know. Is there someone called Dyatlov in it?
And he's actually got his own pass. Like, is this on someone's private land?
One of them must coincidentally be called Dyatlov.
No. Certainly not.
Yeah, it must have been.
The likelihood is not that they're just coincidentally also called Dyatlov, is it? Let's see. Oh, why don't you ever do any research before you...
Oh, no. Sorry. It's called Dyatlov Pass after him.
What?
I think. I'm pretty sure.
You mean? You still don't know. This is what I mean about him making stuff up and then just saying it.
Yeah. Hold on. They started at the inner area now named in honour of the group's leader, Igor Dyatlov.
Right, okay. So it wasn't just coincidence.
That they went to Dyatlov Pass. No,
this is why I ask you for facts before you just proffer your opinion.
No, so they're in the Ural Mountains, okay?
The Ural Mountains?
Ural Mountains, okay. Right. So Dyatlov, whom the Dyatlov Pass is named after...
Dyatlov marches down to his own pass.
And he's agreed he'd send a...
Are you not going to believe this? Bloody Dyatlov's only gone and gone missing in Dyatlov's pass. You're joking. What are the odds? Quick, get the news crew there.
Right. So Dyatlov agreed he'd send a telegram to a sports club to say that once they return to this local village. And it was expected no later than the 12th of February, but it didn't happen, of course. So they sent out a group of volunteers consisting of students and teachers to go looking for them. Later, the army and militia forces became involved too. Planes, helicopters, etc.
God, I'd be so flattered if I went missing, the army got involved.
Well, I'd know now to look at Becca's place for you, where you'd be. So they found the badly damaged tent in Kolat Sakil.
And were they all shared in one tent? 16 of them?
Nine
of them in one tent?
Yeah.
That's big quite tent. A lot,
isn't it? So, the students who found the tent said the tent was half torn down and covered in snow. It was empty. All the group's belongings and shoes had been left behind.
Ooh, that shoes is an odd one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially said, in winter, you won't be going anywhere
with investigators that. Found the tent had been cut open from the inside, and there were 8 or 9 sets of footprints left by people who were wearing only socks or a single shoe, or even barefoot. And those footsteps could be followed, leading down towards the edge of a nearby woods. At the forest edge, under a large Siberian pine, the researchers found the remains of a visible fire. They found the first two bodies there, shoeless and dressed only in underwear. Now, this is like minus like eight or something.
That's odd, just in underwear, because if I was sharing a tent with eight other people, at no point would I just be asleep in underwear only.
The branches on the tree were broken up to 5 metres high, suggesting that one of the skiers had climbed up to look for something, perhaps the camp.
Since where are the skiers?
Well, they were skiing as well. Between the pine and the camp, the searchers found three more corpses. Dyatlov, Kolmogorova, Grover and Slobodin, who seemed to have died in poses suggesting that they were attempting to return to the tent.
What how, what pose is that?
They're crawling, isn't it? Or, like, pointing.
That's where I'm going to go, over that way.
They were found separately at distances of 300, 480 and 630 metres from the tree. Finding the remaining four travellers took more than 2 months, and they were finally found on the 4th of May under 4 metres of snow, further into the woods from the pine tree. Three of those four were better dressed than the others, and there were signs that those who had died first had their clothes relinquished to the others. Dubinina was wearing Krasnikov's burned, torn trousers, and their left foot and shin were wrapped in a torn jacket.
So he burnt trousers?
Yes.
So do we think there was maybe a fire in the tent?
Possibly.
And that's why they've had to escape from the inside out?
So it says, a medical examination found no injuries that might have led to their deaths, and it was eventually concluded that they'd all died of hypothermia. Slobodin had, but these were all experienced hikers, you see. Mm. Slobodin had a small crack in his skull, but it was not thought to be a fatal wound. An examination of the four bodies, which
were still worthy of
still worthy of note,
still worthy, I think, of coming into the a piece narrative. Of the puzzle into how he died. I think rather, oh, he had a crack in his skull, but that probably wasn't it. Moving on.
Yeah, it says the bodies that were found in May shifted the narrative as to what occurred during the incident. Three of the ski hikers had fatal injuries. Thibaut Brunolds had a major skull damage, and both Dubinina and Zolyatrov had major chest fractures. According to Boris Vodizinerov, the force required to cause such damage would have to be extremely high, comparable to the force of a car crash. Notably, the bodies had no external wounds associated with the bone fractures, as if they'd been subjected to an exceptionally high level of pressure. All four bodies found at the bottom of the creek in a running stream of water had soft tissue damage to their head and face. For example, Dubinina was missing her tongue, eyes, part of her lips, as well as facial tissue and a fragment of skull bone.
Ooh.
While Zolyatov had his eyeballs missing. The forensic expert doing the post-mortem judged that these injuries happened post-mortem due to the location of the bodies in the stream. So that's kind of...
So they died and then these...
Animals maybe have eaten the thing. Since the initial speculation was that the indigenous Manti people, reindeer herders, had attacked and murdered the group for encroaching upon their lands.
Righteous.
Several Manti were interrogated, but the investigation indicated that the nature of deaths did not support this hypothesis. Only the hikers' footprints were visible, for example, and they showed no sign of hand-to-hand struggle. Although the temperature was very low, around minus 30, with a storm blowing, the dead were only partially dressed. Some of them had only one shoe, others had no shoes or wore only socks. Some were found wrapped in snips of ripped clothes, what seemed to have been cut from those already dead. Journalists reporting on the available parts of the inquest files claim that it states, six of the group died from hypothermia, three from fatal injuries. There were no indications of other nearby people, apart from the nine travellers. The tent had been ripped open from within. The victims had died 6 to 8 hours after their last meal. Traces from the camp showed that all the group members left the campsite of their own accord on foot. High levels of radiation were found on only one victim's clothing. To dispel the theory that it was an attack by the Manzi people, they stated the fatal injuries of the three bodies could not have been caused by another human being because the force of the blows had been too strong and no soft tissue had been damaged. Released documents contained no information about the condition of the skiers' internal organs. And there were no survivors of the incident. And then the inquest officially ceased and it was part sent to a secret archive. Dun, 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 dun. Now, one of the theories about this, or explanations that they put down to it, the original explanation is that it was part of an avalanche. What do you believe in that?
Well, it kind of makes sense when they're talking about the pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. What about the radiation on the skin, though?
So only one of them had radiation. Where would you get radiation from when you're in the mountains?
Well, let's see. So the actual theory says, you know, they woke up in a panic, cut away of the tent because the avalanche had started to cover or had covered the entrance of the tent. Mm. They were scared another avalanche was imminent. Poorly clothed because they'd been sleeping and ran off to the safety of a nearby woods. which all makes sense. In the darkness, they got separated. One made a fire, hence the burn in his hands, while the others tried to return to the tent to recover their clothing. But it was too cold, far too cold, and they all froze to death before they could locate their tent.
I mean, does it make sense, though, that they were all partly dressed because they were in bed? Because I feel like at those temperatures, people would wear things in bed. Yeah, and especially be sharing with, like, 8 other people.
Well, the contradictory evidence is there was no obvious signs that an avalanche had taken place. Also, an avalanche would have left certain patterns and debris attributed to over a wide area, but that wasn't found. And the initial body was found under a very shallow layer of snow. Let's see what other things they say. There's a katabatic wind, which they propose that a violent katabatic wind is a likely explanation, which is a somewhat rare phenomenon which can be extremely violent. They were implicated in a 1978 case where 8 hikers were killed and 1 was seriously injured in the aftermath of a katabatic wind. Sudden wind would have made it impossible to remain in the tent. So there's one of them. Infrasound's another one. Military testing is one of the key ones, where it thinks that like the Soviet military have been doing testing of weapons around there, leading to the radiation and massive damage.
But it was only the radiation of one of them, wasn't it?
There's it was one. Only radiation of one. And that's where we come to one of the theories, is that that one guy was abducted by aliens. And because there is footage from, some film was left in a camera, and one of the shots shows a blinding light, apparently, but with figures in it, allegedly.
What do you mean, figures in it?
They think it could just be them, it's just exposure of some sort. But other people say it could be figures coming out of a blinding light towards them. The others have ran off terrified. Or someone said, "What's that in the sky?" He's went outside. He's went, "I'm being dragged up by a UFO." They went, "Fuck this! Let's cut the tent up from the inside and run out in the knack."
Mm. But then he would have got out via the front door, wouldn't he?
He would have, but they would have went, "I'm not going out through the front door. He's just being sucked up by a UFO."
But then the front of the door would have been open, and I feel like that would have been reported on that some of them left.
No, if me and you were in a tent,
and also there would have been footprints going out the tent in the normal way.
Well, if me and you were in the tent. In a tent, and you went, "I'm just going for a wee," and you went out the tent, and he heard, "Row," and you, and blood splattered against the side of the tent. Yeah. I'd be cutting out to the side of the tent as well.
Yeah, I know, but what I mean is, he has already gone out the front of the tent, and there were no footprints there. I feel like in the report, it would have said if one of them had gone out the front, and the rest of them cut the way out.
Okay, let's imagine another way. He's popped his head out the tent and went, "What the fuck is that massive big light in this?" Boom. He's gone. No footprints.
But they found all the bodies.
And then, now we're on board the alien ship. And they went, "Look at him. He's really cold. Let's send him back. And we'll play scary noises to scare everyone else." So they drop him. No. He's covered in radiation. The others are half scattered.
Why is he covered in radiation?
Because it's a UFO.
Okay, and where does the pressure come from on the rest of them?
Because when the UFO then takes off into the sky, it lets off a big electromagnetic pulse which crushes anything underneath it.
Are you boring yourself with this?
Yeah, I am, yeah. So that's not really what happened in the Dyatlov Pass. But I would suggest looking into it. It's a very good mystery. What's your belief of that mystery? Well, not belief. What's your opinion on that mystery?
I feel like we've just discussed it.
You literally got bored with... Well, it's how I said it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It must be because it's one of the most interesting things
in the
world.
I think the report just went on too long, I think. Your thing of that report. It was just
really?
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, everyone. I said this is going to be better.
Well, it's not as dark. I mean, it's still about deaths and murders, but it's not quite as dark. I think it's fair to say it probably wasn't the tribe of people, though, who they were initially trying to pin it on.
No.
Probably them. Hey, what do you mean? Probably us. What? Done nothing.
Yeah, that's deeply racist.
Yeah. The thing that doesn't sit right with me is the clothes thing. I just can't... I don't understand why... In that level of cold and surrounded by other people who are just friends, like why would any of them only be in underwear? Like at any point, it doesn't make sense.
What if? Okay, here's my theory on it.
This would be it.
The guy who's got the radiation.
Yeah.
He was a wizard, right?
What?
He's in the tent and he's conjured a spell which has gave him some sort of radiation powers. He's hypnotized all them and went, "Clothes off. Let's all." Have naughty
well,
time.
Well, he's a rubbish wizard, isn't he? Because he died of radiation. So.
No, because he, like with all, there's a price, isn't it? So he's probably went, "I know that the price for this is that we will all die, but I just want a good session of naughtiness." And then they've all got naked and naughty. Then he's went, "Oh, time to pay the Reaper. He's died." And
So why have they all torn the way out of the tent instead of going out the front door?
Because they woke up and went, why is your willy in my hand?
So why didn't they just go out the front door?
Because I'm not going out there with your willy in my hand.
Well, why did they tear the back of it and get out that way?
We'll go out the back way so no one sees us. I've got my willy in your hand.
Who would see them when they're at the mountain?
Well, you'd just be embarrassed, wouldn't you? I mean,
I don't think there's any way that they'd go out, they'd tear their way out the back instead of just going out the front door in that scenario.
I disagree. I wouldn't walk naked through Snowdon.
What's that got to do with anything? How is that in any way relevant?
It is, it's relevant.
Right, if you suddenly came to and felt like you'd somehow been manipulated or magicked into having an orgy with people you don't want to have an orgy with,
correct,
and you wanted to leave the tent, you would just leave the tent through the front door. You would not tear your way out the back.
And also, I wouldn't just leave the tent. You make it sound so calm and casual. How many fucking orgies have you been manipulated into? With that cat, I'll just leave through the front.
No, I'm saying if you wanted to leave, the natural way for people to leave is out the exit, isn't it? It's not natural to try and tear your way out the tent.
Okay, well,
unless there's something stopping your way out the tent.
If that's the case, what about that woman that Prince knows who walked in through the outdoor?
You hate that lyric.
I do, yeah, because it's fucking shite. It's so cheap in here. She walked in through the outdoor. It's like, well, there's loads of little stupid ones like that.
Kev thinks he is better than any other songwriter.
I don't. I think
on
Prince is Prince is massively, obviously, much more musically talented than me, and I'm disappointed in him for choosing such an obvious cheap lyric as "She walked in through the outdoor." It's like, you know, like I hate.
It's even better when he tries to criticise Dylan.
I don't try and criticise Dylan.
You have definitely tried to criticise Dylan.
I just think I can do a good impression, and that sometimes I be good.
Sometimes what?
I be good.
I'd be good.
I'd be good. So yeah, I'm going to write a Bob Dylan song right now about the Dilatov Pass without a guitar. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The nine men went travelling up the hill. They didn't know how I was going to go down, but somebody did. Woke up one day with a wheelie in his hand.
Kevin!
Said, I'm not going out there through the front door, no man. So they got up themselves a knife and they did cut down through the side. They went hand in hand to the forest and they died. The man that came along, he said, look, there's nine of here. It's probably the Manzi folk. We should get them out of here. They dragged the Manzi down the station, asked them questions too. They said, it wasn't me, copper, it was the Bigfoot too. They looked at each other in the eye. They said, the Bigfoot died back when he was 17 in 1925. A UFO, he came along, he sucked up one of the tribe.
After all the events,
yes,
of the story have happened, then
covered in radiation, man, he didn't survive. They crushed his chest just because they could in a spaceship from Taboo.
That's not you writing a Dylan song. That's just you saying the events of what happened with your ridiculous interpretations in a Dylan voice. And let's be honest, it's no Hurricane, is it?
It is. It was styled on the Hurricane.
I thought it might have been, and yeah, it's no Hurricane, is it? No one's going to get goosebumps listening to that, are they?
Well, thank you. I strongly disagree. Well, I think with that amazing piece of Dylan... sorry, and then she walked in through the outdoor...
That's Prince, not
Dylan. I know, yeah. I just thought to say. We'll leave you there with that. And we will speak to you... The next time we'll speak to you will be for the show proper. You'll be glad to hear we'll be talking about ghosts...
Back to ghosts.
...this weekend for the normal show. Hallelujah, everybody said. I do hope you like these distractions. We do. We like doing them. It takes us down some strange hills, doesn't it? But we will speak to you in regards to not talking about ghosts on Monday of next week. Bank holiday Monday.
Woohoo!
Have a lovely Easter. Well, I'm going to tell you to have a lovely Easter this weekend. So have a good Friday.
Have a good Friday. Have a great Easter.
Daddy, bye.
Bye.